going. It's 7:32 on February 13th, 2019. The members will call to order this regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Meridian Development Corporation. Roll call. Commissioner Mueller is absent. Commissioner Vlasic?
Here.
Commissioner Bassalone is absent. Commissioner DeBeer?
Here.
Commissioner McCarville?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Bevan?
Here.
And we don't have a Commissioner Burton that you're on here, but you're not official yet. It sounds like we will probably address that next week or next
meeting.
Council Lakey here, and Administrator Squires
here.
And also, so you're all aware, I'm having some back pain issues, so if it looks like I'm squirming and uncomfortable over here, it's not what you're saying. It's Josh. And if I get up and stand up and move around or whatever, I may do that, because sitting is the most uncomfortable thing. So I just wanted to put that out there so people are aware and think of being worried or something. We have a motion to confirm the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Commissioner McCarville and a second by Commissioner Ritter. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That sounded unanimous. The consent agenda, including minutes of the January 23rd, 2019 regular meeting, and the January 2019 administrator's report, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Bevan. Second. So motion by Commissioner Bevan and a second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? If not, we can just do a voice vote on this one, can't we? Because there's no unanimous. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That sounds unanimous as well. Item number five, actually, we should probably push that till the next regular meeting. That was something that I was going to give a thought and try to put together, but just to get around to it. But we'll have something to bring back next time for that one. Legislative update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Scott, since he sends his apologies this morning, he has a bill that's being introduced first thing this morning and so wasn't unable to be here. He just wanted the board to know that there is a bill that's being drafted by several legislators right now. The crux of the bill is that it will require a vote for any buildings that use URD funds. And so this is aimed mostly at Boise, is what my understanding is, between the library and the stadium projects. It sounds like it has a lot of support, and it should have a print bill this week. As soon as we have it, I will distribute it out to the board for your review. At this point, obviously it doesn't impact anything that we're doing, but it's something that we want to keep a close eye on. There are other URD items that are being discussed in the legislature, but nothing is far enough along right now to be able to discuss or has a print hearing. So we'll keep you informed as things start to evolve, but this is the one that seems to have some legs.
Actually, as Don of Old Town Meridian, there's an occupational conflict of interest with me running for any public offices. So. No announcements today. I'm Josh Everts, Vice President of the Historic Preservation Commission. And by the way, you've got to speed up some of those. I didn't think I was going to be there an hour last night before I gave the update to City Council. So doesn't the mayor have power to be like Paramount move along? Is that not an option? All right, we'll let it go. So we've been working on something for quite a while as a commission. This is really just more of a conversation with you guys, kind of getting it on your radar. And as Ashley and I talk, really trying to gauge, you guys have much more experience in terms of working in our old town and actually doing projects, and what might be the appetite for something like this. So this is more just kind of put it on your radar and have a discussion. If we jointly feel like this is a good idea, then we would take some steps to effectively, there's this notion, and I won't read the packet to you because you guys are all capable of that, so I'll just talk in 30,000 foot. There are things that are called historic districts that cities have. There's very specific criteria that that an area has to have to be recognized as a historic district. Some of those are down there in the third paragraph, and at least 50% of the homes must be eligible for listing on the National Trust for Historic Preservation. There's also some other specific guidelines. We don't have any areas in Old Town Meridian that qualify as a historic district. What we do have is this other concept, which is a neighborhood conservation overlay district. So it's far less restrictive. It actually allows you to put some protections in place so that as you're looking down the road of this thing becoming historic, where more of the properties are eligible, it kind of gives you a mechanism by which to protect it. So we went out and kind of did an inventory as a commission, and the one area that we identified that is a potential area is North Main Street. So on that second page is the one pretty picture you get to look at. Sort of the west side of the road from Carlton up to effectively the Blinkies. And then there's just that little section that kind of sits in between the post office and the commercial buildings. These are all, if you read some of the description on the page before, they are similar lot sizes, they are similar home designs. It's all the little houses that have become little businesses and stuff like that. So we felt as a commission, if there was an area that we wanted to target and kind of preserve some of the attributes, we're not trying to be restricted in what people can do with their properties. It was more of, could we create this overlay district and be able to provide some really broad guidelines? The reason that you would put this in place is you don't want somebody to come in there and buy six properties next to each other, wipe them all out, and put up apartments. Like, that's what you're trying to protect against. You're not trying to protect against somebody taking, you know, 1912 windows and putting in, you know, more energy efficient windows in there. You're trying to protect kind of losing that space. So that was kind of our discussion, and I wanted to ping you guys, and our president and our commission asked me to put this in front of you guys and see if there was any interest or if you guys had thoughts on this. Was it something that you thought was a good idea? We didn't want to go out there just as a single entity and push this kind of thing, because obviously there's a large public engagement on this. But we think that it's something at least worth having a discussion about.
I was going to ask, are any of the property owners in those areas part of the commission or been involved in the discussions yet?
No, we haven't had discussions with anybody. We're super nervous about like going out there and saying that, oh, you know, city's looking to do this. We wanted to kind of research it. I did include the Boise Municipal Code on conservation districts, just so you had an idea as to what Boise was doing in this regard. but no, we have not engaged any. And for the most part, I feel like Old Town's been pretty effective and efficient in their handling of things. I mean, you had the Meridian Cycle did a great job, you know, with that church renovation and putting their business in there. We haven't seen anything that's out of the ordinary. So I don't believe in creating things just for the sake of creating more rules and guidelines. I don't think that's necessarily the purpose of government. But if we like, as a city, the feel and what's happening in kind of that North Meridian or North Main, then this might be something helpful to put in place to protect against something else. So.
Any of the board members have any comments or thoughts or questions?
No, I would just say that it would be interesting to see how the homeowners feel, whether they feel like that's an addition or a restriction. If they see a different value of the land that they're going on.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Josh, would you keep us informed when you do have those meetings so that we can attend and just kind of be a fly on the wall?
Yeah.
And listen.
Yeah. And our next engagement after just kind of getting some feedback, because Ashley and I were both very curious as to what you guys as a board, you know, what your thoughts were. But we'll probably go back to Bill Mary and have a conversation with the city and figure out, like, what is there, you know, a public hearing to be had. I'm generally very uncomfortable with this because I don't want to be perceived as, you know, we're trying to put restrictions on property owners.
And yet you're also developing
Yes. No, no. For me, it's horrible. Yeah. It looks like I'm a hypocrite, right? Like.
I didn't say that.
No. But I mean, it's a fair comment because other people are going to say it. So, yeah, I'm not fearful of that, but it's reasonable.
You just know where your future focus will be. None.
Yeah. No. I, as a historic preservation commissioner, which is the hat of Warren, well, it's not exactly the hat of Warren, but I think it's important that if there are opportunities to preserve things that are unique and historic and special in our old town, then we should take efforts to preserve those kinds of things. And this is, for me personally, this is sort of a weird gray area, because it's not like, what's the road? I don't go to Boise, but what's the road that you drive up to Bogus Basin? Whatever that is. There's a bunch of houses that look like similar, and like it's very, very clear that this, or what's the little village thing that's a couple streets east?
Hyde Park.
Hyde Park, yeah, that's got stuff that looks, you know, that's clear. In this respect, it's less clear, but as a commission, it was worth it for us to at least take a look at it and decide if this is something that we want to protect.
Have you talked with their planning department?
No.
Destination downtown did designate this a special area, but not to this level.
Yeah, I
would be concerned about how you went about even having the conversation with the neighbors.
Yeah.
So maybe after you put a little bit further thought in what the public outreach would be and after you've had a chance to talk with the city, maybe come back to NBC and say, here's how it would look if we were to go about engaging the property owners in that section.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know one of the businesses right now is doing a lot of renovation, or it's not business, but doing a lot of renovation on the home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, could very well be, and it's not, and I put some language in here. It's not. We're not looking to be as restrictive as what you get with like the National Historic Registry and stuff like that. It's really sort of, But yeah, I'll absolutely do that. Happy to go. And I don't want to stir up any kind of bad public. I said this was really a discussion that we had in our commission, and then we thought the next best step would be to get a feel from you guys since you guys have done a little bit more of this.
Yeah, just I do think that there's some kind of guidelines in that area, but my memory doesn't hold tight.
Yeah, I'll talk to planning because I know
Washington, Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does have some basic, but it definitely doesn't go to this level.
Yeah.
And it also mentions in here Pine Street. What
yeah,
are you thinking
so we,
along
we,
that?
We put that as a note in there, but when we discussed it, the reason we didn't put the map in here is when I talked to Blaine last week, it has some of the same struggle that this North Main does, where it's not just really clear cut, like where you could go between this street. It's sort of and what you, the challenge that you have on Pine is you definitely have a mix of businesses and residential, which, you know, are two very different ball games. Everything it seems that's on Main right now is business, even though there might be a living component for the most part of the business.
I was going to ask, did you discuss the area on the west side of Meridian Road, up where the old schoolhouse and some of the more historic homes and stuff are?
No. The problem with Old Town Meridian is you have these little, not clearly defined pockets of cool things that you'd love to be able to do something with. And we actually, it actually creates some problems as well. So if, now that I live on East State, at East State and Second, there's actually, it's right across from the Dick North property. We actually have a property where there's an empty corner that doesn't have anything on it. And we got approached tried to answer, but it was it's in the category where we have this weird thing going on where as properties transition, how do you can't really create an overlay district when only 60% of the homes kind of fit the bill. And yet what's gonna end up happening in Old Town then is there's gonna be things that go up. Like when we redid our house on Third State, like we took a very historic, you know, like even though we took down the garage that was 70 years old and put up another one, like we used all the same finishes and everything, so it still looks like a home that was built in 1913. So, but not everybody's gonna handle it like me. Some people, like even on East State, if you look behind, they got massive metal woodshed, you know, monstrosities. So it's just very, very tough in Old Town to create any kind of overlay district standard. So, could be a bridge too far. So, I'll take it back to my commission unless any of you guys have any more comments. And I'll give a report back to Ashley in terms of what we might take as a next step. I think talking to planning, I'd be interested to hear what they've done currently with kind of Washington, Maine, kind of get a sense from if they have anything in place or is it just, you know, that somebody gets an eyeball on it to make sure it's not something really, really.
It just so happens the right person to talk to happens to be right behind you. So.
Excellent.
What a lucky occurrence.
All right, you guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for the donuts.
Thank you for your involvement.
I try my best. Am I scheduled any point to update on anything else?
We do after we close on the property at the end of the month.
Awesome. I look forward to it. I'll be back with a different hat.
And Josh, yeah. I think
The 30,000 foot view?
It was a great report. There's a lot going on with HPC. It's exciting.
Yeah, really quickly. Lori and I took a drive, so we took it upon ourselves that we do the annual drive around smoke on a Sunday to do an inventory of all our historic properties to see what's going on with them.
So if you see a big plug.
If you do a drive in a big orange truck, it's appropriate to be smoking. In doing that, we noticed that a lot of the historic properties on our inventory that we were checking off had P&Z signs in them for different kinds of public hearings and notices. And we took that back to the commission and basically said, like, we needed to get more engaged because we weren't in P&Z's loop as far as notifications when properties were having things happen. So we got added to their CHOP that if our properties, which we gave a list of, end up on something, they give us notification. And then what we did as a commission is we ran an RFP. We selected two photographers, and we actually paid for a very nice photo shoot to be done on those properties. Most of the time, it's exterior because these are barns that are in disrepair. But in some instances, we do have buildings on the property that we also get some interior shots on that have been really fascinating. So we basically have two photographers that we can activate like in a couple days, put them on site, and pay them for a photo shoot. Typically, those are like $75, and we get like 30 to 40 photos.
The barn one.
I mean, these pictures, and they do all kinds of photo, color, like cool stuff. So not only do we have like the one cool barn photo, but then we have like 10 versions of that barn photo that are magnificent. So one of the things we were asked about yesterday that we are going to turn on is we're going to make these photos available to the public through the city website and start publishing those. We might actually put out a barn calendar for the historic society because people come in there all the time, and these barns, stunning. The thing we're struggling with barn calendars, like when do we date it? You know, the 2019 calendar, you know, our historic preservation month is May, so that's when we get the most traffic. So we do we sell a, you know, a calendar in May that's for next January? Like, so we're working through logistics like that. I think what we're gonna settle on is our first annual calendar in 2020. We'll have it produced and ready to sell in the Historic Society Center. I will be, in different poses. Mostly. I mean, there are people that ask for it, so I mean, I'm going to turn down my people. So we're doing that. We actually had a gentleman who's a former Meridian guy that does virtual tours. So he, on his dime, created two virtual tours of two of our historic properties that are available. So we're going to be putting those links up on the Historic Society Facebook page or Commission Facebook page, and then the city's going to pick that up as well. Probably today, I think Hillary's going to get those up. But they're kind of these virtual walkthrough tours with pictures and information. We would like to expand it to more of our properties. We're just kind of doing it incrementally as our budget allows for that. Our downtown walking app continues to be a success. We're up around 150 downloads. We've already handed out 20 coins. If Trey Fresh here would actually walk around Old Town, he might earn himself a coin. We're going to do another big push for that. Last year we really got surprised, so I would volunteer myself to give people walks of Old Town during Historic Preservation Month. 2 years ago, there was a Boy Scout troop of like six dudes that were doing their community service badge that walked around with me, and we did a better job advertising last year. And Dawn and I, Don Kronk and I, showed up to escort people. We had like, it had to have been like 35 people, but we showed the pictures during the commission report, or city council report last night. So Dawn felt overwhelmed because she didn't want to split up 17 and 18 for each of us, so we just put the whole horde together, and then I toured them around downtown Meridian for like an hour, and I just used my projecting voice to convey things. But Dick Norris opened up his house, which is like a museum, and we staged outside of his house and brought in like five people at a time to go through his little museum, and had a great experience. So we're imagining it's going to grow up this year. A lot of those people were like, man, we're going to bring our friends next year. So we'll do some re-promoting of the walking tour app, have the coins, and be able to kind of walk the tour and present coins as part of that evening. Worked with MDBA. They're continuing to provide the financial support for Downtown Business Association for the walking app and kind of its continued publication. They love it. They've got their overlays for businesses. I was in the meeting last Friday and just explained to them that I felt that they needed to engage a little bit more with how they can actually derive some benefit, push out some coupons and stuff through that app, and create a little bit better value proposition for their members, especially their retail restaurant members. So did I cover everything?
The Children's Museum.
Oh yeah, Children's Museum. Oh, that was the last thing. So our largest expenditure last year, we had been waiting. We've been kind of active in the Children's Museum, just following the progress, because a lot of the purpose of that museum is telling the history of Meridian. So we finally found an opportunity to sponsor one of the exhibits late last year, which is a barn exhibit, which allows littles to like walk through and look at a barn. We actually got barn wood out of an old 100-year-old barn here in Meridian that was donated to build that out. So they made that donation. It's been great. City Council was behind that because it was a larger expenditure than we're allowed to make on our little selves. But it was fantastic. And I take a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old over there every other week to walk them through. And it's really, my kids are all grown up and old, so these are borrow me's. But it's really, really fun to see littles run around and like explore and just get to be like hands-on and touching everything. I don't know how they clean that place from day to day. So I wear gloves. But
I do.
How do they clean
it? It's a mess.
Really? And they just spray it all down?
Lysol.
I'm still wearing gloves. That's it. Any other commissions for Historic Preservation Commissioner Edwards?
It's cleaner than your house.
Clean my house?
It's cleaner.
Oh, it's cleaner? Oh, my house is not clean. No, I've taken up too much of your time. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Ethan Novins.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody need anything in Aruba? I shall return. Cheers.
Yeah. You just never know what you're going to get.
All right, on to the PC maintenance board.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packet is a bid from PC maintenance for the resealing, the repair of the resealing and the striping of the Mason Temple parking lot in the amount of $2,628.76. This is very equivalent to what we spent back in 2013 when we initially resealed and restriped the parking lot. I'm asking for your approval today on this just because the bid does expire on Friday. I did have a conversation with the Masons yesterday. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to re-notice this due to the lack of 24-hour notice, but they would like us also to potentially look at an addendum to this, to look at some of the smaller cracks in the parking lot and sealing those up. I've asked PC Maintenance for a bid for that portion of it. They may or may not be able to do it sufficiently. So I'm going to continue having that dialogue. I'm asking for your approval today just so I can get into PC Maintenance queue when the weather is nice to be able to move forward on this. If we're able to do some of the spider cracks, as what they call them, I'll bring back that addendum to this at a later date.
Can you also ask them if that's like normal or necessary to do that? Or
there, Council Leahy might be able to be a little bit more tactful than I might be on this, but basically,
I guess my concern is that, you know, they're asking us to spend money on something that isn't necessary, and if there's a way to get around that, it'd be nice.
You want me to try to take a tactful approach?
Go for it.
You're the politician.
You are the politician.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we're working with the Masons, and there's a long history, and the history is it sometimes takes a fair bit of time to get the agreements in place, and there's some adjustments and things that may be desired by them after the fact, or at least after our approval, and they don't always make decisions quickly. This is one of those scenarios where, okay, we'd like to continue to use the parking lot, and to a certain degree we need, even if it may or may not be absolutely professionally necessary, they want the little cracks filled in for us to be able to continue to use the parking lot. We may need to just go with that. I don't know that the smaller cracks, we'll just have to see from PC Maintenance, My worry going into it was that they were thinking they wanted us to scrape off like the top layer of asphalt and repave it. And that's not what they're thinking, as they've communicated with Ashley, but I think they just want to make sure that all the cracks are dealt with in some way. So they, in the sense, kind of control the cars, their parking lot. They like having us reseal it.
And one of the things that I had in the conversation yesterday, and as Council Leahy mentioned, that sometimes things come up after we approve agreements, they would like us, when we do the restriping plan, to dedicate a certain number of spaces to the Masons. I've asked for more specifics on their end as to what they're thinking in terms of number of spaces and location, no matter what the time or day, and so that way we can amend the agreement to include those provisions if that's acceptable for both parties.
They also wanted a change from, I think, we weren't sure exactly what the language would ultimately look like, so we put in there, I think, assist with resurfacing and seal coating the parking lot, and they wanted to change from the language from assist with resurface to resurface, right?
They were concerned that we were going to come back and ask them for funding. We verbally have let them know and in writing via email that that's not the intention, that we are planning on taking care of it as per our agreement in the past, but they seem really caught on making sure that that language is in there correctly.
And as long as we're just talking about what we're talking about now, seal coating and helping with their cracks, then that's okay from my perspective. I just, like I said, didn't want to engage in a major parking lot.
Nathan would probably know the answer, but he's not here. How much use does that parking lot?
It's full most of the time. Yes, it is. Especially now that it's being enforced, the parking's being enforced a little bit heavier. And in addition to people not being able to park on the McFadden property,
that makes sense. Yeah.
It's pushing some folks to park. Yes.
So it is becoming an issue. That's why
it is I believe so, yes. They said they have not had the opportunity to use the parking during the day when they've had their own visitors. And so that's something that, they would like to add, and I don't foresee an issue with that. I think that's agreeable, but I just need to understand what that looks like from their point of view.
Mr. Chair, and do you move ahead with the maintenance without knowing that?
I want to at least get in their queue. Mr. DeBeard, so we're not gonna execute on this until closer to April, so we'll have time to be able to figure that out. I just know they have jobs stacking up when the weather turns nice, and in our parking agreement with them, that we said that we would do it as close to April 1 as possible, and with this bid expiring on Friday of this week, because it's been in front of the Masons for the past month, just trying to get their feedback. I'd like to at least get in their queue, and then we'll come back with additional information before I set a date with PC Maintenance to move forward. So sorry, it's as confusing as it is. It's just been one of those things. We just haven't gotten the feedback.
Yeah, and amendment to that includes filling in the cracks.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we addressed the big cracks in this bid, but they want, like I said, the spider cracks also. Commissioner Vlasic, I have absolutely no idea what that might look like, and I don't want to speculate.
And they're not going to come in with anything if it's close, right? So if we put an exceed amount and it's over that, it's going to be that.
But you also have authority to spend up to
additional $2,500. Mr. Chairman, yes, Mr.
Yeah.
Chairman, members of the board, I PC Maintenance has always been more than reasonable
yeah.
in their costs for us, and so I don't think it will be a tremendous amount of money. The biggest issue is just, can it be done efficiently the way that the Masons would like it to be done? That's the big question right now.
Mr. Chairman, I guess, and actually just with the backstop, so we approve this, we get PC Maintenance queue, but worst case scenario, if it blows up, it's lot more than we want to spend, and the Masons absolutely want that. We can still pull it,
yes.
Pull it at the end of the day, and just say it's not going to work. So we've got that backstop.
Well, if there's no further questions, Council, would you read the title of the resolution, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Resolution 19-011, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the scope of work with PC Maintenance for our parking lot seal coating, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and provide an effective date.
Mr. Chair,
Mr.
Bevin, I move that we approve Resolution 19-011 with the addition of an amendment to address the small cracks.
So a motion by Commissioner Bevin and a second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I guess just to say, to the extent the administrator has the authority to adjust without specifying
an amount.
Can you restate it? No. Is that what you're
if we even do an amendment?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Bevin, I think with the way you've stated the motion and the discussion, the resolution gives her authority to do that. She's got authority on top to do the $2,500. You've given her direction, so I think you're okay.
Great.
All right. Any more discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic?
Without clarification, I'm an aye.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Alright, that resolution is approved. Thanks, Ashley.
Of course. Sorry, that one's a little more complicated than
yeah.
I would normally bring to the board.
Now on to the fun, easy stuff. The bids on the Carlton Avenue sidewalk project.
I know.
And it goes on.
And it does. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, sorry to report that third time was not a charm for the bids for East Carlton Avenue. We received four bids, with the low bid being $352,000 and the high bid being $537,000 for 400 feet of sidewalk. So we have, I met with the CDBG Administrator Crystal and Caleb Hood from the city to talk about options. So they will present a memo at the next board meeting to what they foresee options to be based on their discussions with HUD and also vetting some items through City Council as well. So there's a couple options to us on the table. One is to have the city just pay back HUD the dollars that we've expended thus far for the design and a little bit of construction management for getting the bids out and handing the plans over to ACHG and saying, you do it. The other option is to, and we've talked about this before, is taking the $180,000 that has been designated for the construction of the East 3rd Street project for this program year and reallocating those dollars towards this project. There will still be about a $20,000 gap between where the what we have left to spend, which is about $174,000 right now with that additional dollars and then what the low bid is. That might be something that we can discuss as a board. We would be comfortable being able to fill that gap with our own funding. And so that's kind of where we are at this point. I wish I had better news for you. We just need to have those conversations with the two other agencies and figure out what's going to make the most sense for the city as well, because we don't want to put their HUD funding in future projects at risk. That's the last thing that we want to do, because these projects are very beneficial to not only us, but many other organizations. So we should have at least a direction for the board to consider at the February 27th meeting. We'll just see what happens at that point. If you have any questions or concerns, I'm happy to take those back to you, CDBG Administrator, and also Caleb.
Mr. Chairman, actually just one thought there as well. The bids are good for 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to just figure out if we're going to add money to it and go with a low bid. We have to have that decision figured out within that time period.
From the date they were due?
The date they were submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Which
was the 31st.
So
Mr. Chair? Actually, in talking with ACHG, do they have any feedback as to what bids have been coming in? Sidewalk projects. What do they see?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner DeVere, the last conversation I had with Justin Lucas, and it's been a couple of months ago, I think it was the last round of bids that we went through back in October, they're seeing their numbers come in fairly high as well, too. And in talking with some of the other contractors, everything has just been well above what the initial cost estimating has been planned for any projects. And it's such a small project, too, so I know.
We need to start concrete.
We could all get our belts up. Well, not with your back. I'll be the supervisor.
You can supervise. I can help. You too.
That's just a lot of money.
I'll take Kevin Bacon.
That's pretty good.
We know where you're going.
I'll take that. Sorry, guys.
Well, I guess we'll wait to hear how those discussions go and hopefully have something to discuss or consider at the next meeting, maybe.
I hope so.
All right. On to number 10, your committee update. That's Nathan, but he's not here. Is there anything?
So Commissioner McCarville and I met with Natalie Pogorski, our PR consultant, earlier this week, And we're talking about the groundbreaking and just some of the next steps that we needed in order to be prepared for those stories and from a media standpoint. She's in fact meeting with Josh this morning to be able to talk with him about the branding of the project and how to start referring to it, along with just being able to be prepared for all the releases that are going to be necessary when the time comes. She's meeting with Casey in the mayor's office next week so that we can make sure that we're on the same page jointly. She's also doing some research into cameras for us in terms of being able to place upon City Hall in order to be able to do the snapshot that we would like to be able to do each day. So she's going to bring back some recommendations for us that hopefully aren't too expensive, but to be able to provide that, I think, would be really neat. We are reviewing our information, our marketing packet, just to be able to refresh and update that. I think we want to do some new pushes out when we announce the project and the groundbreaking occurs. We also want to re-push out the downtown videos. We think that's a really good time to be able to get that in everybody's mind as well. So that's kind of what the main focus was. Am I forgetting anything, Commissioner McCarville? And Natalie and Commissioner Ritter also wanted just to make sure to extend the offer anytime that you all would like to talk about your businesses for New Ventures Lab or any of the businesses that are relocating. She's open to having those conversations. Sure. Happy to answer any questions if there are.
If there are none, we'll move on to Old City Hall Block update.
So major milestone met at the end of January. We received the check from Pacific Companies for $565,000. So that is in our safe in our bank account right now. Councilor Lakey and I, are working towards the closing at the end of this month, the transfer of the properties between the city to MDC, and we'll have it for a whole 10 minutes and transfer right on over to Pacific Companies. So we're working on those details and what we need for those closings. And that's the next big milestone. So things are progressing. Unbound is closing their doors at the end of this week, and they will be out by the 28th. They've been pretty expeditious on packing and getting ready for their moves. So I think as far as everything I can say, everything is on track. You do have updates and a monthly report from Josh in your board packets as well. The CZC and design review applications have been submitted to the city. I do have copies of those. They're very, very large files. If anyone's interested, I didn't want to, and it's several hundred pages too, between everything that was needed to be submitted. If you would like copies of that, I'm more than happy to send you the electronic link to it so you can take a look. I just didn't want to include it in your board packets today. So, but happy to share any of that information as you're interested. And Councilor Lakey, do you have anything to add from your end?
I don't think so. We're, as Ashley said, progressing right along. It's our intent not to be in possession of the old city hall for very long. We'll just do the right on top of each other transfer. And we'll probably just maybe put it on the agenda for next meeting just to authorize the chairman to sign.
Acknowledgement and appreciation to Rich as that partnership between the city and the Ventures Lab has been a great one. He certainly took that facility over. We had a different approach before that, and this one has been really good for our downtown. And I wanted to acknowledge Rick and his efforts that it's unfortunate that we didn't have the kind of space to transition the businesses that he was helping need to nurture and grow into our downtown because of the lack of available space, but certainly it added some activity and energy into our downtown, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. Celebrate.
Also, I'd like to add a little bit to what Cash mentioned about Unbound in the library district. They're temporarily relocating from there to the main Cherry Lane branch, and hopefully there'll be an announcement relatively soon about their plans beyond that, but I won't say any more, but there's stuff in the works, so hopefully there'll be some good news here shortly.
Mr. Chair, I guess same comments go to Unbound. That has been an amazing partnership, and even the synergies between New Ventures Lab and Bound have really been phenomenal and something that was envisioned as well. Mm-hmm. So perhaps we want to send a letter to the library district, just acknowledging that partnership and what they really brought to our downtown with the model they had. That was unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was really successful for them and for downtown. And the children's theater as well, when they were in the building over here. And when they were with Rick, I think they added a lot to downtown as well.
Very much so.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I apologize. I did not receive anything from Brighton Corporation. I don't know if John Wardle is traveling, but I didn't hear back from my request from him. I did see an announcement this week that they're looking at more food services in 10 Mile Creek, or no, Crossing, excuse me, 10 Mile Crossing. So I will ensure that we have a proper update at the next board meeting, but it looks like there's just a lot of activity going on with the Kristen Armstrong facility along with some of the other announcements that are being made. So I will get that formal update for you. I apologize to not have that this time around.
Needless to say, they're booming out there.
Yes. Not worried about them. That's for sure.
And we did get a fairly sizable check in this time too from that district.
Yes, we did. We received our increment checks for each of the districts, and we received quite the check for 10 Mile above projections at this point. So, which is
quite
good.
Even for the downtown district, I mean, that's larger than we projected, wasn't it?
We have about $1.5 million projected for revenues, and the check was just under $1 million for this first check. So the second check isn't nearly as big, but it'll will probably be over the $1.5 million that is projected this year, which is great. Four projects.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that also means we'll close out 10 miles
closer.
Committee structure discussion.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, so we've been talking at the leadership committee level about the committees, and just due to the changes that we are undergoing as a district for the downtown district in particular, we've had our separate property committee and our separate downtown because we just didn't have big projects coming in front of us. And so we were focusing on more of the streetscape and some of the, just more of the parking issues in terms of enforcement, those sort of things, versus it all being combined together. So we've had a conversation that starting next week, we're going to officially combine both the property and the parking committees together. I'll need to come up with a more creative name for the committee as a whole. The other thing we were talking about is the property committee right now is made up of 3/4 of the board. Which is kind of defeating the purpose of having committees vet items before they come before the board as a whole. And so our goal is to be able to have no more than 4 board members be part of this new committee structure. We'll start this in March, so this will apply to next week. But what we're going to ask is if you're interested in continuing to serve in capacity on this new formed committee, to let me know and maybe to give a little bit of a summary as to what your interest is and why you would like to continue on. So that way the leadership committee can make some recommendations as to who should serve moving forward, just so we have a well-balanced perspective moving forward. And again, the goal is not to have to notice these committee meetings as public meetings, because we have to do that now just because we have so many board members attending. And I think it's just more that we can vet some projects and actually maybe even do a little bit more strategic planning and then bring those ideas to the board and have a larger, more robust discussion. Chairman Winder, do you have anything that you would like to add to that?
No. Okay. No, I just think, you know, everybody speak up. And if you want to participate, just indicate it, and we'll see who all is interested and what makes the most sense. And,
yeah.
Upcoming NBC officer election discussions. That's on my name. As an executive committee, we've discussed, you know, who's interested and wants to do things, and more or less we're all kind of in agreement that we want to keep the same roles that we have now. When will we actually have to?
Next meeting.
Okay. But if anybody else is interested in participating, you're more than welcome to throw your name in. But I think next meeting, the intent would be to basically just throw the same slate out. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
It could be a based on, though.
Like under Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. upcoming committee meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last page of your packet are the upcoming committee meetings. As I mentioned, the Property and Parking Committee will be combined again next week. 3 p.m. I will send out the notifications or the calendar modifications today, and agendas will be out early next week. We will have a presentation, just so you're aware, on the potential fixed transit route that is being discussed for Meridian from BRT. So I think that'll be a really great discussion.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, I have been working with Jeff Wardle on the Retail West Derek Davis site as far as the development agreement. Sent them the kind of a draft development agreement, but it didn't include their proposals for parking and costs and how to protect that during the life of MDC. I thought we'd let them make that proposal as part of it. Here's what we would like you to cover and how many spaces. How long, and then we can start from there. So that's what we'll maybe have an update for next meeting. We'll see.
Are Jeff Wardle and John Wardle related?
Yes.
Yes. Brothers.
Are they brothers? Okay. I thought that, but I wasn't. Administrator's report.
Just an update to the board that we are trying to schedule a phone call with UP next week. I'm trying to get some of our executive committee members to be able to participate and just getting an update and starting to put some pressure on Union Pacific. It's my understanding they're talking to a number of folks. Like, this opportunity zone is great for downtown, but everybody's targeting UP now. And so I know a lot of these developers are having conversations with UP, so I just want to make sure we're still on track for being able to secure a lease, at least for the interim, and getting the parking project moving forward while potential longer-term vision discussions are occurring in the background. So we'll keep you, hopefully we'll have an update at the next board meeting for where those things stand.
Mr. Chair, I know you have been in conversations with the city about the in-lieu you unearthed it, and will that be on the next meeting's agenda?
Probably. Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Vere, probably not. We'll have a little bit of discussion at the committee meeting level next week. I think the takeaway of the meeting with Cameron and Caleb that I had last week with them on this subject is we want to look at some other best practices as well, too, and other options to be able to present. And so that's going to take a little bit more time. And Cameron's arranging a couple of phone calls. I had sent him an article from some things that Sandpoint is doing in terms of their parking that are more innovative and creative. And Dave actually sent us the same article as well, too. And so we want to have a conversation with their planning director on how lessons learned, you know, and some of the things that they would do differently if they had the opportunity to do so. We are also trying to obtain some information from our ULI local district as well, too, in terms of some best practices. And so we're going to take a little bit of time to try to do this correctly and then to come back to this board and ultimately maybe the city council and have a broader discussion. That will be probably one of the menu items is the in lieu of.
Thank you. Just a follow up. Certainly parking is going to be a huge consideration
sure.
to any future projects in downtown as it's
tipping points.
Quickly you swallow that. So
yeah.
I think we need to find something and find it.
Understood.
Let's hope we get to that problem.
Just like in that article that said, one of the biggest problems we don't have is that we don't have a parking problem.
Yeah, but the next project.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It'll be nice that it becomes that big of an issue. I guess the next thing, I don't have anything to add for the chairman's report. On to the public comment. Does anybody remember the public report?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm Lori Jones, and I'm here representing the Meridian United Methodist Church. I've been in conversation with the Masons, as certainly it's an important parking lot for our church members. We do have the trees on the west side of the church, which are presenting a problem with the roots coming under the asphalt. So we are going to be getting looking to get bids on taking care of those trees. An issue under the ground is, of course, the Napa Meridian Irrigation District pipeline. So there is that.
Just as easy as the UP.
Yeah.
And we also have, there is a power pole, major power pole on the power lines, so be in conversation about it. But we are in the process of getting bids. So, April being a timeline, but I know the Masons are hoping to get their agreement finalized with you, so we're pushing to get that done.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Nothing is easy.
Nothing is easy.
That's right.
Still time for public comment if anybody else
wants to. You'll hear enough from me.
You don't have like a PowerPoint presentation about why you want to be on the MDC board or anything?
Actually, he's already received it. He's already looked over it. You'll have to talk to Ashley.
Okay. well, is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.